as deputies, because the United States was not prepared for this. Libya, NATO was not prepared for the aftermath of this. It was a wrong war. And now Europe is now looking at this, and they're going to have to clean this up.
Okay. Well, let me get Mr. Weitz back in on this. In your perspective, now we have the Libyan military actually declaring a no-fly zone in Benghazi. Will that make a difference? Will that be able to actually bring back some security in the area, in your perspective?
I don't know. I mean, it's not clear to me that the main threat that's facing these countries is aerial, that these municipalities is aerial assault. I mean, I think it's sort of somewhat of an empty gesture. So I'm not sure it's going to have much of an impact.
Okay. Well, in general, when we're looking at this situation, with the Libyan National Army as a leader now, Haftar, turning to Philadelphia. Now, this is a man who had fallen out with Gaddafi and then happened to move to very close to Langley, Virginia. Is that coincidental in your perspective, sir? That just happens to be the base, of course, of CIA headquarters. And there are reports that Haftar actually is a CIA asset. Your take?
Well, I mean, someone has to clean this up, right? Whether it's Haftar or someone else, it doesn't matter. The issue is that once NATO invaded Libya and killed Gaddafi, they knew at that time that there would have to be thousands upon thousands of troops there to bring the country under control. But that was not their interest. It was payback, right? Now we have no one they can call for a no-fly zone, but who has the military know-how and the equipment to do it? Just recently, the Russians sent in a plane full of ammunition for the central government of Libya. As soon as the airplane arrived, it was hijacked by militias. Also, the oil tankers in Libya are constantly being hijacked. At one time, Libya produced more than 2 million barrels of oil a day. Now it's down to 200,000 barrels of oil a day. Just saying that there's a no-fly zone over Libya without the authority and the know-how and the equipment to prevent it is meaningless. We're looking at a failed state that's going to have major repercussion. It's going to cause problems with the other nations that surround. I mean, just recently, the central government spent millions of dollars that they really didn't have to bring back two of Gaddafi's sons from Algeria to Libya to be prosecuted, when that money should have probably been spent on rebuilding that nation. And so we have a failed state. I don't know. I think we have another Somalia. Another failed state on the Mediterranean.
Okay, well, let's look at that. Let me turn to Mr. Weitz in Washington.
Way for a while, unfortunately.
Well, Mr. Weitz, let's look at what our guest in Philadelphia said, that we have another failed state. And I guess then the question would be, was this set up to be exactly what it is? There are many experts now that say we look at various regions in North Africa and the Middle East, and we see what has been happening in the last few years, that a lot of what is the agenda from many of these Western countries and some regional countries is not the total destruction of these countries, but total destabilization, that these countries just continue to be very unstable and never really being able to get that so-called independent footing. Your take, sir?
I consider that interpretation incorrect. I mean, if you look at what the Western powers, like probably many other countries, want, is they don't want as our really insightful guest colleague put it, a failed state in Libya. I mean, the problem they'd run into then is that would invite terrorists, it would lead to humanitarian crises. The big problem we're facing in Libya is a lot of leakage of weapons. Gaddafi managed to acquire many conventional weapons, and these are all now starting, not all, but many of these are starting to leak into the, and have been leaking into the international arms markets. They're showing up in Syria. They're also showing up in other places. And so you would want to clamp that down. I mean, ideally, if you just had a stable government that would not have this internal infighting, concentrating growth, then that would take that problem off the board. And then we could focus on more serious security concerns.
Well, good
having
point
to drag
that, good point
on
that you
instability
just made,
seems
sir.
To just going to distract.
Okay, good point, Mr. Weitz, that you just made. You said that if they could take those factors away, then obviously you would have more stable countries. But we see, for example, that the same Tac Fury militants that allegedly, and now the West is against in Libya, they support in other countries like Syria, like Iraq, and other places. So my question, turning to Philadelphia, does the West really want these states to be stable, sir?
I would say no. Because if they did, once they toppled Gaddafi by destroying the infrastructure, particularly that of the central government in Tripoli, they would have put in boots. They would have put boots on the ground like they did in other countries. But no, they destroyed the country. They brought in many terrorists that Gaddafi was complaining of, and now they're trying to put another terrorist who's claiming that he is going to do a coup d'etat. There's no way they can control this situation unless they put thousands and thousands of troops. But that will take, that means that possibly NATO forces will be killed. And there's an election in the United States coming up, and we don't want U.S. citizens potentially killed in a failed state that we destroyed. And so, also the leakage of guns, as my colleague in D.C. just stated, these guns were brought in mostly by NATO. And there was no, NATO was made a decision, obviously, a conscious decision, to not confiscate these arms once they had toppled Gaddafi. So we have to blame this on NATO. And it looks like many of the European countries are beginning to blame this on NATO, because they are the ones that have to deal with this overflow of refugees who are coming from Libya and risking their lives on the high seas to get to Italy and other countries. And so I'm not sure what we should do as it regards this, because I'm not a part of any government agency within NATO. But it looks to me, and it looks to the rest of the world, that this was an intentional decision. It was an intentional decision by NATO to leave it as a failed state.
Okay. Well, Mr. Weitz, how responsible do you think the Tac Furies are in general for the lawlessness that we are now seeing on the ground in Libya?
That's a good question. I think everybody, unfortunately, who has guns is playing their part. So you have the National Army, which NATO has been trying to reform. It still hasn't managed to rein in all its elements. You've got these rebellious generals. You've got the Tac Furies. You've got a whole bunch of people causing problems, instability, local brigands, whatever. So I think everybody's doing their part to keep this country a mess. And so far it's been a moderate mess. It hasn't, but it could get a lot worse very quickly. So I'm glad you're drawing attention to this issue.
Well, same with you, Mr. Weitz. When we look at Tac Furies in general, the majority of them are supported, sponsored by Saudi Arabia. If the United States really wanted to rid the region and the world of Tac Furies, do you not think that they could pressure Saudi Arabia, actually, that they would not support these Tac Fury militants the way they do all over?
I think we've seen in many of your shows that there's a lot of tension between the United States and the Saudis over a wide variety of issues. And the idea of the Obama administration telling the Saudis what they need to do, I don't think it would work. I think that they made clear when they pulled out of their Security Council seat, when they've attacked what they see as weak leadership on the part of the administration with respect to Iran, with respect to Syria. I don't think they are controlled by anybody. Now, it's possible, though, that if this reconciliation between Saudi Arabia and Iran occurs with the planned meeting, that's something they could perhaps bring up, a way to perhaps address Saudi Arabia's and Iran's regional security concerns in the process of a larger reconciliation, which could see reduced support for example, efforts to overthrow other governments.
And Mr. Issa, we're out of time. 1 minute, though, with the situation you're calling Libya a failed state. Can that be turned around? What needs to be done in your perspective?
Well, what would need to be done is exactly what NATO did and the United States did in Iraq and Afghanistan. They put in thousands and thousands and thousands of troops. Many of those troops are being brought back to their respective countries. But if they did not have that intention in the beginning, then there was no real it was not necessary to go in and destroy that state. And if they're not willing to put thousands of troops on the foot, on the ground to help stabilize that region, then I think the world needs to reconsider the position of NATO when they decide to do this again, because they will. It seems to me there's an intention by the West to destabilize all of Africa. And I think this is an issue that maybe the African Union has to take up.
All right, thank you so much for being with us. Former Professor of African Studies, Delaware State University, Mr. Jahi Issa out of Philadelphia, and Senior Fellow from the Hudson Institute, Mr. Richard White out of Washington. We appreciate both of you being with us. And of course, as always, we appreciate you viewers being with us for another debate. Make sure you join us right here, same time tomorrow. I'm Marzieh Hashemi, signing out right here in Tehran. Thanks so much and goodbye.